I'm Sandy D'Amato, and next it is my pleasure to welcome a man who is playing his last performances with the Memphis Symphony this weekend after many years of concerts with us, principal clarinetist Jim Golson. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm good. I'm glad you're here. I have to share this story. I asked Jim when I was preparing for doing this how long he'd been playing with the orchestra, and he actually didn't know exactly. So I got the official date from the symphony. Would you care to take a guess? Or?
Well, I know it's 39 years.
Wow.
Yeah, yes, 39 years.
Official date they gave me was January 13th, 1975.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. You may have, maybe you subbed in before that, but 39 years. Wow. That is awesome and impressive. So out of all that time, are there memorable concerts that stand out? Or?
The people are more memorable to me than the concerts. I remember we did a bunch of really interesting concerts in the opera with Kurt Klepstetter. And Vincent was always a really interesting guy to play for.
I never got to play for him. So.
Yeah, he would always say if something went wrong, he'd say, spaghetti. So that when things were a little discombobulated, maybe out of sorts. So, he was a lot of fun. He was very nice to me. When I came here, actually, I came as a member of the woodwind quintet at the university. So I was auditioned at the university by Ray Lynch was in the quintet then and Paul Ahart. And both those guys were really super nice to me and very much mentors. And I did start subbing with the orchestra in 72. Then as things progressed and they had, I'm not sure if Richens moved down to bass clarinet, and I started playing actually second clarinet to Dick Reynolds. And Reynolds was a dentist who was just a really civic-minded guy and a fine player, very much present on the Memphis scene, wow, along with Burnett Tuthill. So, the fellas that I met when I first came here were just awesome and really embraced me and were fine mentors and took me right in and sort of taught me the ropes, as it were.
I think it's a little more stressful now. At the time I got in, it was very, okay, here is your audition, the screen is up, and it's changed a lot in that way.
Yeah, things are a lot different. It's more professional, and people are trying to make a living doing just that. I mean, when I started it, there were a lot of people who were doing other things.
Right.
So I think that percentage has gone way down. There were several members of the symphony that just had other jobs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the University of Memphis. Mm-hmm. Jim is also a professor over there. And I've been at many school shows with Jim, and we played a lot of quintet shows in school. So I know that you have seen a lot of Memphis students from a big age range. So do you have any thoughts about what's going on with music in the school?
Well, I think the demographics of Memphis have changed a lot. And with those demographic changes comes maybe a little bit of grinding in terms of school accomplishments. I mean, all of us are a little stunned and also stymied by what's happening in the public schools on a national level and especially regionally. And so, the symphony is making a lot of efforts towards being sure that Memphis school kids are familiar with instruments, that they have opportunities to study instruments and learn how to play those instruments, and to develop the skill sets that go along with playing those instruments. And those skill sets are very important to reading. If you have classical musicians who are pretty good players, you can be sure that amongst those players are some really... So I'd like to see more energy coming from the community towards having students study classical instruments on a classical level. Chris did that. Chris had clarinet lessons with me.
Chris is his son, about whom we'll hear later.
Yeah, Chris had lessons with me regularly up until about the 9th or 10th grade. I mean, his schedule just got to be so that he couldn't,
The kids do get activity back. But yeah, they love it when we come in. I mean, they've certainly never seen, maybe they've seen a clarinet. They've never seen oboes or bassoons, but they really seem to enjoy when they see it. And they ask a lot of good questions. And so I'm going to ask Jim a couple of questions we get asked when we take the quintets into the school. And the first one is, when did you start?
When did you start?
Like, how old were you?
Yeah, I started when I was in the fourth grade. Just started, my mom was a music teacher, so we had a clarinet. She had a clarinet actually in the attic. And so she pulled that clarinet out of the attic. I started with that, and she also played piano. So I started taking some piano lessons from her. I didn't really take to that too well. I didn't enjoy it. You know, wasn't really fun. I think, you know, studying with your mom maybe was counterproductive in that case. I did start taking band class. And then after band class, I had band classes up until about the ninth grade. Then I started studying privately by ninth or tenth grade. So
okay, so if you're a kid out there and you're listening, you can just, if you've got an instrument in your attic, you can grow up and play it professionally. The proof is here in the studio with me.
I mean, all the research says that playing a musical instrument, learning how to read, the skill set that is involved in reading music, also helps you with reading, and that's where kids are falling down. Seems to me in the public schools, you know, we're very concerned about that. I think there's some wonderful teachers in Memphis City Schools
for sure
who are also very concerned about that. I think everybody's doing all they can to see that that turns around.
So get them into music, and it's going to help. Absolutely. Okay, now we mentioned Chris, and he is also known by another name.
Yeah, Chris, well, I got involved with a lot of Civil War traveling, going back and forth to a lot of Civil War stuff, going back and forth to Maryland, Prince George's County, Maryland, where I grew up. That's where Chris's grandparents were. So, you know, the book that I wrote recently, Feats, and the moniker that he uses, Drummer Boy, comes from a song that his grandmother, my mother, taught him, the little drummer boy.
That's so cool.
Yeah, during the Christmas holidays. So, you know, she loved that song and she loved to teach it, and evidently she taught it to him.
Okay, so Chris is out there as Drummer Boy, and Chris actually came and did a photo shoot with us.
Yeah, he really loved that. You know, it was something that he thought about doing. He learned a lot about the instruments coming to rehearsals and also coming to concerts. In fact, turns out he had a business mind right there when he was working with the ushers. The ushers would hold on to him. If I had a concert, the ushers would watch him in the balcony, and he and it turns out he was taking people to their seats and they were tipping him for it. So he'd come from the concerts with a pocket full of money. I said, how'd that happen, man?
A little against the spirit of ushering, but enterprising young
man. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Jim, this is great. I'm so glad you came in.
Well, I'm very happy to do it, Sandy, and I've had a great time with the orchestra. It's been a lot of fun.
And we will miss you, but you're going out with a bang this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Jim Golson, retiring principal clarinetist of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, who gets a great last concert to go out on, namely Carmina Burana.